He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
Good morning, Slick Talkers. Welcome back to another episode, and this is going to be a bonus episode. Normally, we don't release on Tuesdays, but actually, and I hate to admit it, this episode was supposed to go out on the audio side a while ago. So I'm putting it out today. You're going to get a bonus episode during this amazing week of Thanksgiving, so I hope you're taking some time off to enjoy friends and family and other loved ones in your life. But before we jump into the episode, just want to say shout out to Travis and Rebecca for taking the time to sit with me, chat with me, and talk about all things 100 Collection. If you haven't heard of 100 Collection, or if you didn't see them at VRMA with the amazing hats, I'm super jealous I didn't get one. But if you saw them at VRMA, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And the 100 Collection is setting the standard on the best operators in our space, creating an umbrella brand in all sorts of ways to dive into it, which we will in the episode, for short-term rentals. So I'm really excited for this because it's something that I've been super passionate about since basically my time of being in short-term rentals from hotels. So really excited about this episode, and thank you so much to our podcast partners for making this episode possible. So if you don't know already, Hostfully.com, Safely.com, and Minut, M-I-N-U-T, Minut are amazing partners for Slick Talk, and they have amazing offerings. So if you use the code SLICKTALK20 for Hostfully, tell Safely I sent you, and then also use the link in the show notes, Minut will give you 2 free months with them. So go ahead, sign up, make sure that you get that. That is also a big part of setting a standard as an industry, right? So using the right and the best products out there. So thank you so much to our partners. Now let's jump in with Travis and Rebecca in 3, 2, 1. You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. All right, Slick Talkers, welcome back to another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Today, I am joined by two guests, and we're going to dive into their stories and what they're doing in the industry today. But before we do that, Travis and Rebecca, welcome to the show. Long time no see. I just got to see you guys in person at VRMA, but super excited to jump in this episode. And yeah, just want to say welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Of course. Before we get into, I guess, the meat of what we experienced at VRMA together, plus all the conversations had in between, I would love to go through, in traditional fashion like we do with the podcast, go through the origin story of how you guys both got into the industry. And I know, Travis, you are not only an awesome guy who I got to meet at VRMA for the first time ever, but also a property manager. You built quite the company, especially after doing like research and hearing about you from other mutual friends in the industry. I would love to start with you and kind of hear on how you got into vacation rentals and what has built up the momentum to where we are today.
Oh, wow. So the true story is, in 2005, I accidentally sold my mother's house. She was living in two different places. She really didn't use it. It was driving me insane. And the only reason she didn't want to sell it is because she was worried about all the furniture. And so I was like, I will take it. Don't worry about it. I put it in storage. It was still in storage about 2006. I was like, this is a horrible investment. We all know that if you store stuff, you're not ever going to use it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to build a guest house behind my house, and I'll furnish it. And if my mom needs a place, that's great. She'll have one. So I finished that in 2007. This is, you know, pre-Airbnb, Vrbo's around, HomeAway's around, collegeweekends.com, which was born out of here, was around, but nobody had even, you know, truly heard of it. And I was like, told all my friends, I was going, hey, I'm going to rent this out nightly. And everybody was like, you're a fool. That was a jerk. And, you know, this is the old days. I didn't know what I was doing, of course. And I had a credit card machine next to the couch. And I suddenly started doing, you know, 2x revenue, then 3x. And like, oh, wow, this is really working. And at that same time, I was headed up business development for a publishing group, creating new products for them. And the owner of that group and I went on runs, and I was telling him about the success of the Carriage House. And it was actually his idea. He's like, hey, man, you know, why don't we start up a management company? And I was like, well, if we do that, I'm going to take the majority share, and you're still going to pay me to head up development. And needless to say, Stay Charlottesville was born in January of 2011.
Wow. And so from that moment, what was the biggest, like, if this was pre-Airbnb too, like, what was the biggest challenge at that time that really helped get it started? And then growing to where we are today.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's really, coming full circle. But, you know, in 2011, there's probably about 20 listings on Holloway, VRBO at the time. It's, you know, that was the pay to play days. The more you paid, the better your listing was up at the top. And it was just really a glorified Craigslist, right?
Yeah.
But by 2012, you know, there were 60, 70 listings on those various platforms. It's like, this is going to become a very expensive game to play. So I built an event venue called Old Metropolitan Hall right on the downtown mall of Charlottesville, which is like our equivalent to oceanfront property. Really targeting the bride because I knew that she emailed 250 of her friends. Mailed out invitations. And all I wanted to do was get Stay Charlottesville included in those. And that worked really well. And you know, the very following year, we built up a wine tour company for the exact same reason, as a marketing platform. And so, you know, in 2013, 2011, you know, I didn't know about Verma. I didn't have any other friends in the space. I had no idea what I was doing, to be perfectly honest. I'd say just the being alone factor or feeling alone. And it was, I'd say it was Nashville. The first Burma conference I went to was in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And that's when things actually started changing and light bulbs started going off. Realizing that I wasn't alone. There was, 800 other people at the time, I think, that were doing the exact same thing.
Wow. That's really cool. And it's kind of a classic, like, traditional way, right? Like, not a lot of us got into vacation rentals. I'm going to graduate high school or graduate college. I'm going to start a vacation rental management company, and we're going to get to X amount of homes, and we're going to do this, this, and this. Like, no one just kind of like plans this out. It usually starts out accidentally by selling your parents' house or your mom's second house, which not a lot of people actually. Yeah,
you're exactly correct. If anybody tells me they have a PhD in vacation rentals, I think they're crazy. It's like, if you want to study hospitality, we know where you can go get a degree. And our degree comes from the School of Hard Knocks.
Yes, I love it. And now, Rebecca, so where do you come in? Where's your, I guess, origin story for the vacation rental industry? And then how did that lead you to meeting this guy over here on right in between us on the screen?
So I'll start the story and then Travis can finish it, because I came into vacation rentals actually through real estate. And I was the chief marketing officer for an international photography company, and got introduced to everybody in this space and just kind of fell in love with everything. I was actually a travel writer for quite a bit. And one day the assignments stopped coming, and I was like, hey guys, I haven't gotten an assignment in a while. I mean, I've written for like Yahoo Travel out of Ukraine, Japan, South Africa, did a lot for Orlando Magazine. And they're like, oh, we don't need professional reviews anymore. Some guy who's never left his hometown is going to write us a review on TripAdvisor, and that'll totally be fine and replace the professional experience. I was like, what? That's not going to work. I've been working in vacation rentals for a few years now, and a friend of mine connected with Travis because, Travis, why did our friend connect us?
It's funny. So you know, the full story, and I don't know that you knew this, Will, but the project that we just recently launched, the reality is it was supposed to launch in the first quarter of 2020. And when one of the groups that had signed up to be a part of it, there's about 15 very large companies. And he called me, he's like, I don't think we're going to make it. And I looked at a bunch of checks sitting on the desk in March 22nd of 2020. And I tore every single check up. I was like, we can't do this now. And, everybody went through the same thing, you know, so, you know, we were alone, but it was awful. We started getting phone calls in 2021 because there was a lot of frustration in our industry. And they're like, hey, are you going to do this again? Are you going to do this? And I was like, no, not until, no, I don't know. And the reality is like, we got enough phone calls. It's like, I'm not doing this until I found a co-founder who knew way more than I did, way smarter than I, but also very passionate about this industry, which you couldn't fake. And, you know, there's a lot of money pouring into the industry, as we all know. And I wanted somebody to not see dollar signs, but I wanted to see, you know, the independent vacation rental manager and, you know, realize what they were dealing with on an individual basis, on a company basis in their markets. And, it took a long time. And then what was funny is all basically within, you know, 48-hour period, everybody's like, you got to talk to Rebecca. You got to talk to Rebecca. And, you know, we did a 30-minute interview and I was kind of coy on the phone. I wasn't very, didn't tell the whole picture. And what's funny was, Rebecca comes down. We have a, cocktail drink, you know, at 5 o'clock and it's like, all right, I feel like there's going to be something here. We go out to dinner and we keep talking about the project. And I'm like, all right, I really think there's something here. I'm like, but you know, our industry, we all just got back from Vegas. It's like, you got to drink at 11 o'clock too. So we went to a block up, ran into a couple of friends. And I think this is hilarious because I sat down and I knew these guys. And, you know, when we sat down, a gentleman said, you know, Dad and Dave are upstairs. And if you know anything about Charlottesville, you know, Corin Capshaw is one of the most powerful people in the music industry. He lives right here. And Dave Matthews also. And so I knew exactly who was upstairs and we're having cocktails. And I'm still trying to convince, you know, Rebecca that this is a great idea. And Dave Matthews and Corin Capshaw walk out and come over to the table because the other guys all happen to be really good friends with Dave. And Rebecca's just sitting there like, what's going on? Where in the world am I right now? It wasn't me to convince her. I think it was Dave.
That's the joke anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we need to invite a third person on the show, get Dave Matthews' take on the whole thing. He's probably the one that did convince. I would have been convinced right then and there. Like, all right, cool, let's do it. That's awesome.
Small town. Yeah.
But I love it. No, that's so cool. And I guess for the listener's sake and anyone watching this, the live stream video, I would love to know, like, let's dive in. It's funny to see, and not even funny, it's just really cool to see that there's a repeating theme. When someone starts a vacation rental management company, they usually, I would say, like, I'm not the best numbers guy, but 80% of the time start another thing that's complementary. So you starting your wine business, the venue for the weddings, like all of that stuff is super entrepreneurial, but also a classic VRM where they do stuff to complement not just the stay and kind of get away from the heads and beds model where it's heads and beds. Yeah, great. We want to fill our homes with great guests for our great owners, but then we also want to create remarkable experiences and streamline a lot of the standards and the expectations of what they can have when they're staying with us. And so tell us about the 100 Collection, your guys' joint venture. Why is this so important? I know why, because we've talked about it, but for everyone who's watching and listening, I would love for you to kind of explain the theme. And actually, I'll let Rebecca tell it because she was the one that was sold after Dave Matthews walked in. So I'll let her kind of start this one off for us. So
it's funny. Thank you. It's funny that you mentioned that whole like complementary ventures aspect to it, because Airbnb is now coming back saying, oh, now we're going to focus on experiences. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's kind of the whole point. Mm-hmm. And you know, coming at it from a guest perspective and from a writer in the industry, it's like, this isn't about booking a room. This isn't even about booking an entire house. This is about an experience. And that experience is driven by the person in ownership, you know, in local residence. And so where can you go to get a vetted experience that comes with, you know, concierge service and hotel-like amenities, but is still a vacation rental experience, which is what you and your family want? They're just, it was a gap. Yeah. So I saw that.
And, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Well, ultimately what we're doing is we're answering a question that we know exists, but, you know, we've asked this question to over 75 vacation rental managers, and then most recently to a room of 100 folks. And you're quite famous in the space, Will. Who is the number one vacation rental manager in Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
In Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Oh, man, I'm on the spot. Do I know them? I should know
well,
them.
Well, I don't know if you do, but I do. I know that we do.
Yeah, tell us.
As long as we... Well, what we're really answering for the guests, right? I know that if, you know, we manage a lot of great properties here in Charlottesville, really, truly unique experiences, as, you know, Rebecca just, you know, pointed out. And I know that that experience exists in over 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 destinations. We're doing a lot of research to figure that out. But the guest is so desperate right now to know that when they put their dollars down, that the experience is going to be delivered 100% of the time, which is really what the 100 question is about. So, you know, we've been going across the country looking first for the most incredible players in our industry that best represent their community, that have their finger on the pulse of their community, that know the barista's name out of the coffee shop. They're not recommending the neighborhood bar and grill as the restaurant you're going to find on a 7-lane highway. They're doing it as, you know, James Shrimp Shack or whatever it might be. And that's what this is about. It's like, A, it starts with community for us, and finding people that best represent it, followed by groups that are following the best hospitality standards as well as safety standards. And then they have great properties too that best represent the experience that people are looking for in that destination. And so, you know, right now it's really a gamble, which is the number one piece of feedback that we're seeing, you know, in the last 60 days, really, as the press has heated up on the, you know, the OTAs. It's like, you know, can you trust a review? I would argue you can't. We don't know that, you know, that they're actually true. And 90% of people shop off of reviews. But I would argue that you can trust the people that we're putting out there in the front lines and saying, hey, you go to Jackson Hole, this group can do it, or Breckenridge or Outer Banks, what have you. So that's what this is about.
It's kind of perfect timing too, because I don't know if you saw the article that came out on, I think it was on Skift just this week. But going into, you know, hotel, like luxury hoteliers are leaving horrible, fake, fraud reviews on short-term rental properties that are in competition destinations with them. I hate saying this, but when I was a hotel manager, that wasn't the first time. I had plenty of our competition leave fake reviews on our property because we were ranking number one and two on TripAdvisor, and they hated it. They hated that they, you know, lost their spot or their visibility. And so then they went and did that, which is unfortunate because we're in a hospitality industry where hopefully you would think people were more grown up and didn't actually do that. But like you said, the reviews part is, I think there's a lot of lack of trust now in them. I think there used to be a point in time where reviews were actually truthful and accurate, but now it's come to the point where, like you're probably seeing, is it's kind of losing its value.
Well, absolutely. You know, and as you well know, it's like what happened during COVID is the demand for the vacation rental space went so high, right?
Yeah.
And then now there's a 3-point difference between hotels and vacation rentals in regards to demand. And yeah, you're going to see some dirty tactics out there. And, you know, it's, I talk about this openly. It's like, thank God, I'm very excited that Marriott is in our space and helping, you know, with homes and villas. Like, they're not coming after us. And most recently, you know, we all saw the Hilton commercial, and that's also what this is about. It's like, who knows what the rules are?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's, you're going to see a lot more of it, I think.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about, because Stay Charlottesville started 2011, right? You said 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Or a misquote. So 2011 to now with the 100 collection, let's talk about like this huge gap of like what that standard used to be versus what it is and what you guys are trying to push. Because I think back in 2011, a lot of people, at least when getting on, you know, VRBO or now Vrbo, a lot of people, it was, I would say Vrbo versus Airbnb is a lot different. I think Vrbo, a lot of people put more time and effort into the little bit of design and kind of doing the better, you know, setup for the listing. But Airbnb comes along, right? And now anyone can list a couch, a bed, an air mattress, a spare closet space for all they care.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. And I mean, let's talk about the first standard, that the property is actually there. So just recently, I was at a UVA football game. The football game was not turning out so well, so there was plenty of time to talk to various folks in the stands. And there's a couple of couples in front of us. They asked me what I do. I was like, oh, I run a tour hospitality group focused on vacation rentals. Oh, you run a bunch of Airbnbs? I'm like, no, just vacation rentals. They're like, well, can you help us with Airbnb? We booked one for a stay. We've emailed the host 7 different times, and they haven't given us the check instructions yet. I look at the listing and immediately know that it's fraud. 100%. Tried to help them find another property. Everything sold out. They had to stay an hour out of town. And again, going back, like starting with the standard, I mean, it's just like the guest is so desperate to be able to trust that stay. And, you know, I too have fallen victim plenty of different times to, you know, booking properties on OTAs and not being delivered the experience that I hoped it was. And, you know, my mom booked a family vacation for the first time in like 7 or 8 years and took us all up to Vancouver, Canada. And she asked me about the listing ahead of time. And I was like, oh yeah, that looks great. Phenomenal. Got there. Nothing like the photos. It's almost like verbatim, the Hilton commercial, right? And, you know, at the end of the stay, my mom, not knowing what she is supposed to do, ripped all the sheets off the bed. It looked like 3 people had died on that mattress. It was disgusting. And that, like, is when she went off. And it's like, you know, those standards, like mattress covers, clean linens, towels, like, you know, there's a group that just recently announced, it's not public yet, that they're only providing 1 towel per client. A very large vacation rental group. And like 1 towel per client, like, are we serious? Or 1 towel per guest, rather, excuse me. Like, you know, there's some low-lying fruit in regards to standards, but while we won't go into all the different details of those standards that we're looking for, it starts with hospitality standards. It starts with safety standards. I mean, very important to make sure, you know, regardless of who you're listening with, that you have smoke alarms in every bedroom. I can't tell you how many people have been taken out recently because of that very thing. Every time that happens, you know, people start bringing out the pitchforks to be able to shut down, you know, this industry. And so fire extinguishers, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, followed by, you know, hospitality standards.
Yeah. Well, Justin Ford would probably very much agree with you from Breezeway on, especially not just smoke alarms, but smoke alarms that are succinct together, so that way if one goes off in one room, it goes off in every room. So yeah, especially
big moments. What Justin Ford is doing is so very important in our industry. Yeah. And so he is definitely at the forefront of it. They're doing a lot of great things.
Shout out to Justin Ford and Breezeway. but no, it's just crazy to think about that. And I'm surprised, even like staying in hotels, how many hotels have moved away from mattress covers. It's disgusting. I hate it. I, as a hotelier originally, before getting into vacation rentals, it blows my mind. I can't describe on how many dirty, nasty things, not the ones that you're thinking about, probably happen on these beds and linens and things. And so it's just like people get sick, people sweat more than others. Like there's a whole bunch of things with the human body that just happens. And it's so gross that they're not doing mattress covers anymore. So I'm glad a standard with you guys.
Having professional and clean linens is just, it shouldn't even have to be said, but it's exactly correct.
So let's talk about the importance then, I guess, with the 100 collection, because we all know every home is different. Every town, state, city, whatever, has different regulations, different licenses, different, you name it, footprints and coding for, and not even coding, zoning in general. So how, like, we know it's hard, like standardized, there's a reason why there's not a Marriott of vacation rentals, like, right? Marriott vacation homes and homes and villas is a real thing, but there isn't like a big umbrella brand that a group of vacation rental operators can really fall under outside of the 100 collection now, because standardization is really hard. So for you guys, how does that kind of implementation factor play as you're bringing on these groups with, you know, professional standards and all these different things that happen within our space? And I think maybe, well, Rebecca or Travis, whoever wants to go. Sorry.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Come on. So, well, here you go. So, yeah. I mean, for us, it starts with, you were at Verma. You saw the people wearing the hat. There's a lot of people wearing that hat figuratively as well, that are behind the scenes, that have been in our industry. They're all leaders. And there are a lot of very influential people wearing that hat, and they're very well connected. So it starts with finding property managers that are the creme de la creme for us. There are over 17,000 vacation rental managers in the US. We're not trying to find 17,000. There's about 300 that we're looking at. And they meet a lot of different standards. And then obviously those properties that are representative of their destination that they're bringing forward. So we're trying to take out the guesswork of trying to find a property that best represents the destination. And who knows that better than the vacation rental manager? So it starts with them. And then there's other systems behind the scenes that we're using to make sure that these properties are accredited in the correct way.
Yeah. And I told you guys about, you know, the Book Direct show, and we did the Destination Air Awards, and how hard that is to vet through. You know, we had 150 nominations, and like how hard it is to vet through 150 people, their websites, their, if you could find their listings, hearing from their peers in the industry on how they actually are behind, you know, closed doors. You know, are they truly the figure that they showcase on LinkedIn or whatever social media platform?
Right.
So, you know, how are you guys handling that whole situation going through the vetting? Like, the vetting itself has got to be a lot of legwork when it comes to actually finding those that are truly representing the hospitality and operation standards that you guys are looking for.
Yeah, I mean, so far it's been invite only, and it probably will remain invite only for the VRM. As Travis said, you know, vetting that VRM is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because once you vet, then it's kind of a following factor that they're going to have gorgeous properties, they're going to have well-run experiences, right? So vetting that VRM is probably the toughest. And then what else would you say is the next hardest, Travis?
I mean, I think it a testament to our vetting is just like Ginger and Hunter. They have beach ball properties down in Alabama, and they were one of the first partners to jump on. They also just won the Vacation Rental Management Company of the Year, one of 17,000 chance.
Well, vetting them wasn't hard.
It wasn't hard. It's making sure that they're the, you know, they are who they say they are, and they're leaders in their community, and they're well respected. I mean, I have actual friends in this industry where they didn't pass the process, and, you know, obvious reasons. I'm going to let them remain nameless, but they didn't have the respect of their community. And so, you know, we're trying really hard on that front, followed by these great properties. And so that's definitely the most difficult part of what we do. But, you know, ultimately, you know, if you can't answer the phone at 2 a.m. when somebody's locked out, there's a problem. And that's actually one of the next largest complaints on, you know, these platforms. It's like, you know, what happens if, and, you know, all of our people have those what happened if, you know, problems already figured out.
Go ahead.
For the best part.
What are the top five things that are going to ruin your vacation rental experience, right? It's kind of easy for all of us to all agree on those top five things that are going to absolutely ruin your experience.
Yeah.
So we start there with the VRMs and go through that checklist to be like, do you have a solve for this?
Yeah. Do you feel like it was easier to find someone who set, like, represented that standard right out the gate? Kind of like you just mentioned I'm already blanking on their names.
Ginger and Hunter.
Ginger and Hunter. Like, finding someone that meets that standard right out the gate to then have that trickle down into how you do the invite-only piece for the rest? Or do you think that actually makes it harder because then maybe you discover somebody else who sets maybe a higher standard or it does something differently that maybe Ginger and Hunter didn't? Or, like, how does that whole kind of thing work with you guys? And
so we can get, I mean, I think this can be something that turns into a really long conversation because of just the standards that are needed, right?
Yeah.
So take ourselves out of it for a second and just think about Rich Carlton for a hot minute. Rich Carlton just pulled out of Cancun because they couldn't meet the standards of what their brand was, right? I mean, that's huge. Cancun is one of the largest destination markets, right? Yeah. And so a lot of these VRMs, when their properties, their whole portfolio, let's just say that they have 100 properties, you know, they know which properties are in the 90th percentile of their portfolio. They're performing and delivering 100% every time, right? And they know which ones they need to carve off, which is really tough to do for a lot of people as they start their businesses. But we know what bad properties are. And these are people that have that figured out. But, you know, ultimately hotels, because of the way they operate, they dump down all their standards on top of you to be a part of that flag. In our industry, you know, we have $100,000 of 300 thread count sheets. Big Sky has 50,000 of 330, and they put four pillows on a bed, and, you know, some do three or what have you. And so right now, the lanes, if you are, I would argue in our industry, we're on a 17-lane highway that needs to get down to 15, 14, 13, and eventually an autobahn. But these are standards that we need to create and put in place. When we're talking about ski in and ski out, you know, what does that really mean? What does oceanfront really mean? Does it mean ocean view, or is it, hey, we're right on the beach? And these are things that we're solving for collectively because we're all independent vacation home managers. That are going to decide what those things mean for us as individual brands, as well as how to define those for guests.
Yeah. And obviously, like, the guests, I feel like coming from the property management space too, like, the guest obviously is going to benefit from this because they're going to have a way more consistent and positive experience. But I also feel like the vacation rental managers are going to benefit from this because now this helps streamline their operations a lot better by having a literal handbook standard that they have to meet. Like, it's just like you wake up and you breathe, right? Like, or you sleep and you breathe, you eat naturally. Like, we're just going to have to naturally do these things, which will make our lives easier. I think as an industry, especially when it comes to fighting for better regulation, fair regulation in a lot of cities and states. But then also, you know, our teams, like, if we prevent a lot of these issues by standardizing the home and creating a better experience, like, our housekeepers and our guest service agents and maintenance staff aren't going to have to be scrambling around trying to figure out how to do a simple task. They're going to have something that they could just be like, okay, we know what we're doing. We know the standard. This is how it needs to look. This is how it needs to be, and just do. Easier said than done, obviously, but
standard. Standardization is such a huge benefit from a guest standpoint, right? So we know factually, if you're going to go stay in one of my estates and you're going to have a great experience with me, we know that there's then 50, then 60, 70, 80, 90 other people that are delivering those same different experiences across the country, right? So the guest is going to benefit the most because right away, they're going to know that there's all these other great people that are protecting their communities that are delivering great experiences, right? But also talking for a moment, just from the vacation rental manager standpoint, I mean, you can't make this up. You know, I got to be careful what I say, but I was looking at a very large estate, a new home that I accidentally found, that sits allegedly next door to the vice president's nuclear bunker. You think I'm making this up? Accidentally found that, this is Googleable, but we'll leave it at that. So, then, you know, go over to the estate next door and, you know, tell them all that. It's one of the nicest houses. You know, the program, like, yeah, he's like, well, I'm going to be one of your nicest houses. I'm like, actually, no, you're not. Look at this huge estate over in Vail, Colorado. That's, you know, the lead singer of this great band. And that's $18 million. And he's like, oh, wow. And so now we built this giant network for homeowners, for vacation rental managers, and for the guests. And so, I mean, hopefully it's a win-win-win across the board.
Yeah. And Rebecca, I kind of want to come to you on the writer side. I'm not a great writer. It's the reason why I do audio and video 100%. So with that, like, how much does this really play? Like, I know the answer, but from your perspective on, you write about experiences, you write about the communities, and you've seen this. You told me before we hopped on the recording, you've been an avid guest of Stay Charlottesville. So, you know, how does this really impact the community at a greater scale? Like, I think obviously we're protecting neighbors and doing all the other stuff, but like there's businesses and people's livelihood that's also involved. So I'm just kind of curious from your standpoint, like kind of give us a big, you know, hospitality 360 picture on this.
That's quite a assignment. So I would say it's stories, right? Whether they're written or verbal or video, we're all, you know, everybody loves stories. And I think telling the story in such a way that makes somebody want to go there and experience that, right? And inspires them. That's what we're all kind of after. And so all I'm suggesting is that we go back to professionals. How do you like that? Professional vacation planners, professional writers, capturing those stories, you know, and kind of and retelling them so that other people understand what they're getting themselves into. And I think that providing that kind of profile about the person that you're about to invest, you know, a $5,000 stay with makes absolute sense, especially as the economy starts to get wonky, right? Like you're not going to be gambling with your vacation money anymore. You're going to want to know that you're making a smart investment. And I think after you read the profile about, you know, especially what Ginger and Hunter have done and the bonds they have in their community and how they know the owners of the shops and the restaurants, and how, you know, people have just really invested in their local community, showing up after a hurricane comes through and rolling up their sleeves and fixing that. People want to read these stories. And then after they do, they want to stay with them. They want to trust them and invest their vacation dollars with them. So I'm a big advocate for that. And it's not just marketing. It's not just writing either. It's also marketing. Mm-hmm. So I was at DARM in Charleston. I think that was not this past year, but the year before.
The year before.
And yeah, I was in a session about digital marketing. And I saw this adorable woman stand up and ask some very sweet questions about Google Ads. And I was like, God bless this woman trying to understand Google Ads. And she's the owner of her own company. And I don't know how to break her heart and tell her, no one's going to Google Ocracoke Island. Like, I'm really sorry, but like, it sounds like an amazing place to stay, but you're never going to win that battle. So I was like, you know, if her brand were underneath the umbrella, like you said before, of a bigger brand, she would get the benefit of cross-marketing. Yeah. Because 83% of people, when they go to book their next vacation, don't have a destination in mind. And now with the 100 collection, if we can retarget and remarket to people who have never been there, but they went to a similar property in a different location, well, then there you have it. We're able to help, you know, the marketing solve, you know, for this brand that's super cute, that's fighting this uphill battle with Google, but do some cross-marketing where they don't have to sell out, that they can maintain their independence there.
Yeah. I love that too.
And we'll,
oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think a, you know, an important caveat to add to that is like, it's, you know, all these different groups are dealing with regulations across the country, right? That's, you know, we've interviewed over 75 vacation rental management companies. We've asked them the top three issues. Regulations have been brought up 50% of the time, along with OTAs. We weren't specific OTA, but OTAs. And, you know, a lot of those regulations are being born out of that OTA and the irresponsible behavior over the last 10 years and, you know, what have you. But if you think about what, when a vacation rental manager says, go to Jane's Shrimp Shack and spend your money because that's the best shrimp, whatever, mm-hmm. right? That vacation, that guest is willing to spend more money in that market than the regular people that live there, right? And it's really, truly tourist. They're actually helping keep a lot of these different boutique retail shops, local restaurants alive throughout the country. And they're desperate to see it, right? It's a mutually beneficial relationship. And these people are just spearheading and helping point you to, you know, directly the right direction. But, you know, again, nobody's coming into, you know, most of these markets go to the big box, your retail that they can find on, you know, in every one of these cities across America. They're coming to find out what's unique. And so I personally, you know, kind of picture the old cell phone commercial with a vacation rental manager standing at the front of it and saying, hey, this is my network. And it's a lot of different community players.
I love that. And it's kind of cool because, you know, I also told you guys we have about 10 vacation homes that we manage under our brand called Recreation Rentals. And the biggest thing that we've seen with our guests, when we do recommend local, real authentic places to stay, not just like, oh yeah, go to the Anthony's seafood restaurant, because there's an Anthony's in every city almost now. But if we're like, hey, actually down the road, there's this really special seafood restaurant. It's a lot smaller. You're not going to get like this huge crowd of people, but it's privately owned. They've been in the community for 20 years. It's the best fresh like seafood in Seattle. We get a lot of good feedback from that. And then the cool thing is if you open up that door, and you guys probably see this with your guys' properties that you manage at Stay Charlottesville or even throughout the 100 collection in total, but we've had some guests that like come into town growing up in the area, moving away for X amount of years, starting a family, and then coming back to visit grandma and grandpa. And being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that place is still here. It brought back all these memories. And then like, have you also heard about this place and this place and this place? And they're all open still. They're still operating and running. And now you have a even better list that you didn't even know. Even like, I'm a local from Seattle and I found out about a bunch of new places that I was like, whoa, never been there before. And we checked them out and they were great. Like had a great time. And now it's like, okay, this is special. Cause then you have that two-way communication. It's not just you feeding the guests a bunch of messages that they're not going to respond to. They're actually excited about this stuff. So yeah, I don't know if you guys maybe see the same thing with.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's a win-win. But I mean, also like going back to your reference of Anthony, it's just like the general manager of Anthony's, it's probably not going to show up to your county board or city board meeting to help protect you if you're dealing with regulations. But that person that owns that private business, they know what it's like to own a private business. And if you help them, they'll be the first ones to show up with the pitchfork to help you if it's coming down the pipe. And so it's a mutually beneficial relationship, but it's also, you know, what makes your community unique. And we think that's really important.
Agreed. Well, you said you interviewed these 75 vacation rental managers, right? So 50% and two more today.
77.
Yeah. Let's add that tally up. You talked about regulation being 50% of the time, OTAs. What else is popping up? What common themes? Because I think like anyone listening right now, like this is probably something they're thinking, but they're not talking about it either in their community. Cause you know how scared people sometimes, I'm guilty of this all the time. I'm scared to bring something up or ask the question in the room because maybe I'm the only one that feels this way or thinks this thing. And then I do ask the question and then five other people are like, oh my God, thank you. Like, thank you for asking that because I was thinking the same thing. So outside of regulation and the OTA, what would be the next round of commonalities?
I think it was staffing, right?
Yeah, 100% of every single group has mentioned staffing. Wow. Absolutely. I think there's even some, you know, ways, you know, in the future we might be able to help solve for that. That was not the intent. But I would tell you that a lot of these people, you know, ultimately it's just a feeling of alone. You're sitting on an island and you've got these billion-dollar companies coming after you. In one way or another, maybe they want to buy you, maybe they want to see you disappear, whatever it might be. It's like, that's a lot of pressure. And so I think, you know, a common theme is like, hey, we're all in this boat together. And, you know, it's, we can decide which way we steer the ship, but we don't have to go hit the iceberg. Like, we know it's out there. We know it's getting closer and closer. Let's go this way. And I'd say that's it. It's like, you generally, you know, you might be a vacation rental manager, you know, living in the snow or living in the beach, you're so buried in the sand and snow, that's really hard to like be able to defend yourself against all the different aspects that are coming after you. I'd say that that's a huge theme. I'd say that, you know, there's a lot of larger groups, billion-dollar companies that are trying to lower management fees, which makes it, you know, a lot more difficult for the local guy to compete,
yeah.
You know, already in competitive markets.
Loyalty was a big one too. Loyalty programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you referencing the ones that we're building?
I'm referencing the need. People are saying they want to have loyalty. They want to build loyalty.
Well, right? And yeah. 100%. So one of the little secrets out there, Will, which I can't believe we're saying this on the air, but you know, all the airlines and hotels in 2010 and 11 were freaking out because they were losing their market share to the online travel agencies. OTAs were raising their rates. And 50% of the plane was getting filled up by a kayak. That's a problem, right? And so, you know, there needs to be OTAs, but there needs to be a strategy, you know, with them. And so, you know, one of the things that we're doing with all of our partners is building a loyalty program that actually means something. And that will be coming out, but that's actually the hardest lift of anything that we're doing, you can imagine. And when I talk about a loyalty program, it's like, hey, why I want to go to the next step with Delta and get, you know, the diamond, and I'm willing to spend more money to get that because I know that I have a better chance of getting the seat in front of the bus, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I think our industry desperately needs that at a very high level. We think we know how to do that. And we're all coming together to be able to actually decide that.
Well, it's kind of fascinating because when I remember like my early, I think I was maybe a hotel manager for a month and the owner came up to me and was talking about, I was going over all these reports and was like, man, we give a lot of money to booking.com, like a lot of money, like way too much money. Like it was a scary amount when I ran the report. It was like last year we gave booking.com, or we gave an OTA, maybe I'll just take that part out. But we gave an OTA almost $1 million in our revenue. Just from their commission fees. And when you're a small independent boutique hotel, just like if you're a small independent boutique vacation rental management company, to give up $1 million, that's a lot of cash that you could use for better things, such as making improvements in houses, hiring more people, whatever it might be. And so realizing that, he told me, he goes, you know, that's just how it is, you know, that's where everyone's at. That's where the eyeballs are. We got to pay to be in there. And I was like, I don't know if that's like the right answer. Cause there's gotta be like a way that we can get more money into our own pocket and not to be like money hungry, but more money in the sense of like actually using it for beneficial like use rather than giving it to another company that doesn't advertise us correctly. Doesn't, you know, give us the best guests sometimes.
That hide your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you did a lot to build your local brand. It's like, you want to keep it. And so, yeah, I think it was an underlying theme at Verma in Vegas, you know, the past week too. It's like, how do we get off of, you know, some of these machines and find our independence again?
Yeah. It should definitely be a filler. 100%. Like, we don't need to be dependent on one. We use them as a filler when we want to, not when, because we have no other option. I think it's gotten to the point where a lot of people are feeling like they have no option, right? Like they're competing with such a, like you experienced at that football game, Travis, like, oh, you manage a bunch of Airbnbs. No, not even close. I manage a bunch of homes and we may be listed on Airbnb.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things, it's funny, you know, in our panel, we did a panel with Sarah Bradford hosting Airbnb and the executives of Vrbo. And, you know, one of the references I like to use is take the vacation rental industry out for a second and think about the airline industry. Now imagine if Kayak was selling plane tickets every week and those planes kept on crashing. Would Kayak still sell those planes? No. Now imagine if Delta Airlines was using Kayak all the time and then Kayak canceled at whatever the reason was and Delta had to take it. Fight it. Do you think Delta would still use Kayak? I don't think they would. And so I think, you know, there's some good OTAs out there that are responsible industry partners. And that's not just from us, but that's from the feedback that we've been getting. Yeah. And then there's others that need to step up their game desperately.
Yeah. Did out of the 77 now property managers that you've interviewed and surveyed, was that theme common across the board at Burma for like conversations you guys heard? Were those same commonalities, the same things that you were hearing in other panels?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So add another 3,000, apparently, give or take, let's say 2,500 to that list of people then. You know, that's pretty significant to say for what's happening now.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of frustration. And, you know, somebody once asked me, you know, recently, I was like, you know, what do you think the biggest threat to our industry is? And I was like, honestly, I think it's ourselves. Like, we can control this. We control the supply and we decide who we give it to. And, you know, if you're 100% relying on an OTA to deliver every one of your reservations, yes, you have a business now, but you potentially do not have a business in the future. Think about that and think about how to, you know, get a part of that book direct platform. Like you, so, you know, you just helped host as well. I mean, it's a huge thing. It's going to be, I'd say that's probably going to be the fastest growing theme, hopefully, in our industry, the needing to be independent and direct.
Yeah. This is a long-term game. So I'm just curious from your guys' standpoint with the 100 collection, what is the long-term? Obviously it's invite only right now for what you guys are building, but let's say we revisit this again in a year, 2 years on the podcast again, what would you say you would have hopefully achieved in that long-term, you know, 1 to 2 years?
Oh, this is fun. Rebecca, go ahead.
I was going to jokingly say that I'll have to be able to answer you in like multiple languages.
Perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for certain that we're already there. Honestly, well, I mean, I'm an independent vacation rental manager. I will stay independent. For all the companies that keep calling up trying to acquire Stay Charlottesville, we're not for sale. We've never been for sale. We don't want to sell. I love my community. I have great members of my team that help run our group. We want to teach other people how to do that so that they don't feel alone. We hopefully, you know, these people will be able to stay independent. And at the, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now or 10 years from now, we're still a privately held company that is best representing vacation rental managers. Every person that we've brought on, the very last part of their job description is like, if you ever think there's something that we're doing that does not represent in the best interest of the VRM, your job is to whistleblow as loud as you possibly can. And so I hope we, you know, we can stay true to that. And we, you know, keep continuing to build Noah's Ark. And, it's been fun. We've gotten to talk to a lot of really cool people, get a lot of, you know, interesting stories, how they're doing things typically. And, I ultimately would say, yeah, keeping people independent.
I love that. Rebecca, do you have anything to add with that, or are you full steam ahead on the same thing?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think that it would be that anytime you see our logo, that you know certain things, you just know, and you don't have to like Google it or look at our website to read what those things are. You just know. And yeah, we've saved lots and lots of people lots and lots of time from having to go through and read tons of reviews that are not helpful or maybe even real. So that you see that logo and you know what it means and you book direct with assurances.
I love it. And I saw so many people with that hat at VRMA. I was kind of a little jealous. I was like, damn, I want one. It's so cool. And I had like the little pin on top too. It was sick. So you guys did good with that. I like the brand. Again, and I think I told you guys this privately, it was just that I think this has been needed for a while, and I'm glad that the timing is kind of lined up to be now instead of back in the early days of 2020, because obviously I think it's kind of divine on how it just kind of is happening when it's supposed to happen, right? And so I just do want to say thank you guys for leading that charge. It's not easy. It's not going to be an overnight thing, but we're all going to back you up, from myself to the listeners to our friends in the industry. So I'm excited to see this unravel. And yeah, I just really appreciate you guys taking the charge on it.
Hey man, we love it. And so now you probably get to ask the final question, but as an influencer, Will, you know, in our industry, going to the largest conference that Vermont's ever had. There's a lot of new companies, a lot of new faces, vendors. I mean, what were some of your big takeaways on your end? Because I saw everybody trying to talk to you. I'm glad we got 30 seconds.
I'm glad we got time to talk to you. It was a little crazy. Shout out to Marcus at Minute, who saw me get pulled 5 times when we were talking for I don't know how long, but he was like, dude, what the heck is going on? And I was like, I don't know. I think my biggest thing, to be honest, and we kind of saw the same thing in the podcast space, right? There's a lot of podcasters popping up in short-term rentals and hotels and restaurants. And a lot of people were kind of just like, what do we do? How do we do this? What do we do that? So we created the network for a reason. And a lot of our podcasters or creators actually got to attend their first VRMA ever this year, just this last week or so. And a lot of them, and I love them to death. And like, we've had deep conversations on, you know, like some of them are Airbnb ambassadors where like they're only on Airbnb. Like that's all they know. They know that there's property management softwares out there. They know there's Vrbo. And now they're like awoken or whatever the word would be to this other side of the industry. And that for me was the most exciting thing, because then as they're meeting with these dynamic pricing softwares and the property management platforms and you name it, the experts, getting to meet Lino and the OK2 Charge team and just all these people that are doing different things that they had no idea existed. I think for me, that was the most exciting thing, because now I was a little nervous. And I guess this is my takeaway, is like, we were seeing all these like influencer people pop up on TikTok or Instagram saying like, hey, I'm going to teach you to take my master course and we're going to teach you how to build an Airbnb empire. Freaking hate that. I hate it to an extreme passion. And so to see like just a couple of our creators and podcasters like get exposed to this, bring their expertise and knowledge, because they do work with that platform very deeply. So like they understand it probably a lot better than most of us do, versus them like actually getting to see like what it looks like to have like a brand behind their homes. Like it's just super cool. And so I think we're gonna be seeing a big merging of the two sides, right? Where it's not like a his side, her side, or vice versa. It's very much like, all right, this is all they were educated and brought into. This is older, and when I say older, I'm saying more like experience. They've been in the game longer demographic, and seeing them merge together and I think learn from one another is my biggest takeaway that I think we'll probably see a lot more of, because this industry is so collaborative and super willing to share. Like we're all vacation rental managers and none of us look at each other as competition, unless like you're just a insecure person where you're like, oh shit, somebody's in my market. But like, I think it's just super exciting to see that this is going to be like a merging community that's going to get a little bit more deeper. So that was my big takeaway, if that counts as a takeaway.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, that's a huge takeaway. I'll give you a little trade secret. You mentioned OK2Charge, and ironically have one of those chargers, and in my listing, you know, if you're on a property management software, or even if you're on Airbnb or Vrbo, it's like they have, you know, different mapping tools to say that you have an EV charger. But the very first thing I did is put EV charger included at the top of my listing on my own guest house that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
The second I did that, I started seeing more Teslas pop up than ever before in last minute bookings, and loved it. That is my one little trade secret that I am definitely willing to share. It was hilarious. And then, this is such a great show. Do you see, were there any new companies out there that you were quite impressed with? Did you feel like they're even the fastest growing?
From the vacation rental side or the tech side? Both?
Whichever one comes to mind first.
Mm. Yeah, putting me on the spot. I'm never usually the one that gets asked questions on the show. So
I know.
It's like making me like squirm a little bit.
You're doing a lot of shaking hands.
Yeah.
Babies, so.
Yeah, shaking hands, kissing babies. Companies, I would say just like one in particular, and I've had them on the show multiple times. I've gotten to attend like their, team Halloween party last year. Like it's a company called Cassiola Vacation Homes, and they're dominant in Orlando. Yeah, mm-hmm. Miami now and then Aruba as well. But just seeing them like take off and really like they were also one of the winners of the Destination Air Award. And for me to like see they're leading the charge and regulations, like they went to Aruba, they formed the like Aruba version of VRMA basically, and started doing a bunch of other advocacy work. Plus, like they build and or buy their own tech. Like they can't find the solution on the market, they build it. And the way they treat their owners, their team, there's like all the above, the standardization involved in their homes. For me, it's been really exciting to watch. Like I got to meet them last year, and within that, you know, 365 days that we've known each other, it's like they just true and true represent like the organic hospitality nature with that natural organic growth that happens within it. Like, you know, there are hundreds of homes, mm-hmm. and they're truly homes. They're not like, you know, just grabbing as many apartment or leases that they can get. Like they're really going for it. So for me, that was really exciting to watch, and to continue to talk with them about, you know, what their plans are and how they're just doing things differently, I think. It's really exciting. And then from the tech side, again, I think I'm gonna go with my friends at Minute. Like they just have been kind of changing on how that, you know, how trust is built through tech. And I think, you know, their integrations with OTAs is important, but they're also integrating with property management platforms and kind of just how they're thinking outside the box rather than just focusing on one feature, is really exciting to watch. So shout out to Cassiola and Minute. I don't know if they use each other or not, but those are my two, I would say, I guess like takeaways or companies I've been really excited to watch. Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah. Anyways, for you two, this is the final question that I always ask every guest. I do ask this every time, so all the listeners know what's coming. If you had one link, only one, and this could be, I'll give you both each one, so there'll be two links. If you could have two links together to send anybody that's listening or watching this video right now, what would that link or links be?
So obviously I'm going to go for the most helpful content link, which
shameless plug.
Yeah. Well, actually it's been VRM Intel has been a helpful link for a lot of people in this industry. It's kind of the whole reason Amy Highnote started it. So that'd be my one.
Perfect. All right. VRM Intel is going in the show notes now, Travis.
Oh, wow. Obviously this is actually going to be can I have an odd answer?
Yes. I'm always down for odd answer.
I think, so I would send a lot of the people are in our industry feel alone and they shouldn't have to be. And there's a lot of your listeners, might love looking at the 100 collection. Great. You know, 100question.com. But there are these two guys out there that own a group called Casago, which is a franchise model. Love that. I've literally watched going across the country, tripling revenue and helping people, legitimately helping businesses, helping people stay in their chair and then drop down those SOPs like we were talking about earlier. And I would say, I would send them that link too and be like, hey, if you guys want help, like these guys they're moving fast, and they're doing it the right way. And, you know, I always end the story whenever I talk about them that, you know, they've been doing it for a long time and, you know, they have, so much respect within their staff that when they're housekeepers, they have now two housekeepers, that when they got this, when they were deceased in Mexico, they got buried in their uniforms. Like if that doesn't say to the level of like who these people are, I would say, you know, those are probably the two links. I'd say, take a look at Casago, take a look at the, you know, the 100collection.com and take a look around. Hopefully, you know, people will not feel as alone.
Yeah. I love how both our answers were like the most helpful. Like we're trying to craft like what could be the most helpful.
No, I love it. And that's the whole point. And I've had, you know, a lot of either like shameless plugs, which are great. Like that's kind of the whole point of the question. But then also I've had people recommend books and other podcasts and other things where it's like kind of just steering people to what's helped them. And, you know, shout out to Ryan Dame and Steve Schwab, because getting to meet them and having them on the podcast too, like you just said, they're incredible people, incredible company. I love learning about their Orange Book of Culture. So like just super something to really pay attention to. I think it's a great example of what also we've also talked about on the show. So thank you for
that. Yeah. I mean, ultimately there's all, you know, there's just a lot of people that are doing it right and that have their hearts in the right place. And I really hope that we can all as an industry help bring those people up and those companies up and let the ones that are, you know, trying to do the opposite, make sure that they feel the pinch.
Amen. I love that. Well, on that note, thank you to both for joining me on the podcast. I know there's going to be a lot more conversations behind closed doors and throughout other conferences the next year or two. So super excited for that. And thank you guys for doing what you do. For all the listeners and the viewers today, if you like what you heard, make sure you like and subscribe everything, the 100 Collection, to make sure you stay on top of everything coming through the pipeline there. And we'll see you all again next week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoy the show, and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content, or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week.